Very good morning, brothers and sisters. Well, today as we close the chapter on the book of Galatians, I think what we have done in reading this epistle is we have experienced Paul at his best. He starts out, he says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you." And so Paul, as he penned this letter to these people who had received the gospel through his ministry in Galatia, an area where Paul had suffered much, where he'd gone through unbelievable trials to bring the gospel to these people, and now they had turned their back on the gospel and they were going after the teaching of the Judaizers. And so Paul would say, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" So he was hot and he was angry, and he had a reason to be angry. And he was angry with those who preached the false gospel to these people in Galatia. And so we see Paul here, the emotion is just pouring out of his pen as we read these words. And so I was caused to wonder in contemplating these words just how many volumes the Apostle Paul could have written if he didn't have to travel, if he didn't have to earn a living, if only Paul could have sat in some fine home somewhere, as I'm sure he could have done, with a nice desk, and put his pen to paper and just written away on the wonders of the theology of the gospel of Christ. And yet, I think we can say that Paul did write volumes. For Paul wrote many more volumes than what we have here before us in our New Testament. He wrote volumes that were never written with a pen. As we come to the final words of this sixth chapter, we see his statement, "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." And that is what speaks volumes. It's somewhat like the saying, "I can't hear what you say, for your actions drown out your words." And with Paul, it was his actions that emphasized his words and added to his words. And what Paul went through and what Paul suffered, I think that speaks far greater and far louder than the words that he put to paper. "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." And so, going back to just some of the account of what Paul went through, we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 these words. He says in verse 24, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. And so that is five times he received 39 stripes. 195 times he was brutally beaten upon his back. It is no wonder that he bore the marks. There would not be one square inch of his back that would not be scarred. But it didn't end there. "Thrice was I beaten with rods." This is the Roman persecution. We read of one of these in Acts chapter 16. But three times he received from the Romans a beating. He said, "Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck." And this is probably before the Acts 27 shipwreck. So there's another shipwreck. He said, a night and a day I have been in the deep. And so there he was, out in the ocean for a day and a night. And so by the time this man wrote the words that he wrote to Galatians, he was a scarred man who no doubt was showing age far beyond his years. For all of the things that he had gone through physically in order to preach the gospel. And then on down to verse 29, it wasn't just the stripes and the beatings that he took upon his body. He reminds the believers in Corinth that he says that not only did he suffer these beatings, he says, beside these things that are without, the external things, he said, that which cometh upon me daily, anxiety or care for all the congregations. And so there was a mental stress as well as the physical things that he endured. But then in the fourth chapter of this same epistle to the Corinthians, he wrote these words. This is 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the dunamis, of the power, of the dynamic, we have this exceeding greatness of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not unto despair. Pursued, yet not forsaken, or persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And you might have an alternate for that word dying in verse 10. The Greek indicates putting to death. So here was the Apostle Paul always bearing about in his body the putting to death of the Lord Jesus. He was demonstrating it. And that is certainly worth considering. How did all that Paul went through, all that he endured, how did this demonstrate the putting to death of the Lord Jesus? Because surely that is a lesson here for us. Because today, as we go through the remembrance of Christ and the eating of the bread and the drinking of the wine, we in effect should also be doing the same thing. We should be demonstrating in some way the putting to death of the Lord Jesus. And as we turn over to Philippians, Paul has this to say in chapter 3 and verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these have I counted loss for Christ. If I can put that in my words, he's saying, the things that might have mattered to me at one time, I have written them off. They are no longer important to me. Yea, doubtless, he says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse, that I may win Christ and be found in him. So now we penetrate into the life of Paul and we gain some idea of the mind of this man who was prepared to go through so much, who was prepared to go on in his preaching of the gospel at any cost. Because he said that he had written off the things of this life. They were gone. They were of no account. And then he says, to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God, by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And there's that word again. There is the word dunamis. It's dynamite. Dynamic. Dynamo. That's where we get the word, these words in the English language, from this word dunamis in the Greek. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And that's where Paul was in his mind. He was focused clearly on the life which was to come. Or which is to come. And the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. So Paul is saying here that I'm prepared to go through everything, even the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to gain the resurrection. It's good thinking. I'm going to ask you to listen, to be very quiet. Don't even breathe and see if you can hear this. Can you hear that? It's a little bit fast paced, but it's the tick-tock. I somewhat became aware of time many years ago when I was staying in a farmhouse. They had a mantle clock that had a very loud tick-tock. One of those clocks that marked every quarter of an hour. You know the ones, you've probably all heard them. And when they get to the hour, they mark off the hour. All through the night, 11, bong, bong, 12 o'clock, 12, bong, bong. And all the way through the night. And then at 5 o'clock in the morning, 5 bongs of the clock, and it was time to get up and milk the cows. And so the day was marked off in seconds and minutes and hours. And many years have gone by since I heard that clock. But when we hear the tick-tock, which we don't hear these days because of electronics, the digital solid-state clocks that we have. But there might be a lesson there. For every tick and every tock is one more second. One more second of time. And do you know that there is at least two different concepts of time? The time is not the same for everybody. You know that for most people, every tick and every tock is another second closer to the wooden box. We just get that much closer to death. And so, for the non-believer, this can only mean one thing. That we must get on and, well, we better climb that mountain. Or make that parachute jump. Or go whitewater rafting. Or get that tour to Europe in. Do all of these things that we have to crowd into life just to say that we have lived. Because time is passing. But do you know And do you appreciate, brothers and sisters, that for us there is a totally different concept of time, of the tick and the tock? Because for us, every tick and every tock brings us closer to the eternal age. It's just a moment of time that takes us into the forever. And this was the concept of time that Paul had. Every second wasn't bringing him closer to the grave. Every second was bringing him closer to the resurrection. And that's his perspective as you look through his epistles. There it is clearly written down, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And so it is for us. We shouldn't despair at the passing of time. And how we age. A brother this weekend is celebrating his 75th birthday. One couple in this ecclesia is celebrating 39 years of marriage. And so, yes, time goes by. But it's just a step towards the eternal age. But why did Paul suffer? Why did Paul have to suffer to the extent that he suffered? He suffered like none of us will ever suffer. He mirrored his Lord. Paul followed in the footsteps of his Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so others in the ministry would join him. And in Philippians chapter 2 verse 19, he speaks of Timothy, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state, he says. But of Timothy, this is what he says in verse 30. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. So there was a true minister. There was a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. One who did not consider his life. And was even prepared to give himself up, even to death, for his service to his Lord. Now we know that verse in John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave up his Son for us, to show us the way. It just happens that for the first epistle of John, chapter 3 and verse 16, parallels this verse in the gospel. Hereby, he says, perceive we the love of God, because he, Jesus, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And so, just paralleling those two verses, God gave, Jesus gave, we give. That is the process. And John says we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So this takes us far and beyond an observance. What we do here today is not an observance. It is a participation. And that's the meaning of the word in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's koinonia, and it means communion or participation. And so, when it comes to love, and the love of the brethren, the love of God, the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is what he says in John chapter 15. Words that we know so very well. fact, I don't even know why I'm turning them up, because I know them also. Greater love hath no man than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends. Let me repeat that. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And we'll say, well, that's Jesus. But it's not only Jesus. If we read the account in the first epistle of John, we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. Paul laid down his life and his service ultimately took him to Rome. And it was in Rome that the Apostle Paul perhaps achieved more than at any other time in his ministry. It was at Rome where he penned the prison letters. It was at Rome that we received so much of the depth of the wisdom and the knowledge through the mind of that man in the letters that we have before us. And so in Rome, his very effective ministry was terminated with death. And today, we are privileged to come here together to remember the life and the death and also the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember that as Jesus went up to Jerusalem, you remember how he just was almost at pains, it would seem, to have his disciples understand what was going to happen. Strangely enough, they didn't really seem to understand it. And I don't know why, because the words of Jesus were very clear. As he told them, not once, not twice, but at least three times, I am going up to Jerusalem to be killed of the Jews. And after 3 days, I will rise from the dead. And it was that clear to his disciples that after 3 days, he would be raised from the dead. And that was Jesus' focus as he went up toward the cross. He could see, yes, he was going to die. But he could also see that he was going to be raised again. And that is where his service to his brethren took him. It took him to the cross. And Paul's service to his brethren took him to Rome, where we believe he died by the sword. And where will our ministry, where will our service to our brethren take us? And so, brothers and sisters, this morning, we have clearly before us the example of our brother, the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. Be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. That is where we are brought to in our readings today in the letter to the Galatians. There is much that we can comprehend as we read the life of the Apostle Paul, as we read his words in the letters that are given to us. There's only one thing Paul wanted us to know. Always, in every line that he wrote, the only thing that he wanted for everyone that would pay attention to his words was that we should know Christ. That we should know his Lord and Savior. And here we are today, privileged to contemplate the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus once again. But we did this last week. And we did it the week before. And we've been doing it for weeks, months, years, many years, some of us. And time is passing. And brothers and sisters are going into the grave. But it's only a step towards eternity. And let us be comforted with that, brothers and sisters. Yes, it's sad to see our brothers and sisters die. But it's also a privilege and a joy that we have knowing that they will be raised. And we are comforted with these words. And let us be comforted too, brothers and sisters, as we see the time passing, that we are now one step closer to that eternal age when we will be with our Lord and our Savior. And what a thrill it will be to be with that man who suffered so much for the gospel of Christ, but who has led so many to the hope of the kingdom. What a privilege it will be for us to be there with the man who bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus, and to be honored to be in the kingdom with him. May God bless us to that end as we follow him even as he followed Christ. And as we take the bread and the wine, let us remember, brothers and sisters, that it's not about an observance of Christ. This is all about participation with him.